It's time for your Green and Gold update on Wisconsin Sports Daily, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
All right, let's get to it. Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers podcast, newsletter. Follow him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Peter, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
I thought we were just going to have, you know, sort of normal mid-off-season conversation, and then we get hit with news. We got, like, real stuff to talk about.
All right, let's talk about Jaire Alexander. I said earlier today, and I don't know where you're at this point, but would you be more surprised if he played or didn't play at this point for the Packers?
I mean, at this point, I'd be more surprised if he didn't. And that's a pretty big departure from where I was in January, in February, in March, in April. And then things started to change post-draft. I think the reporting changed because the circumstances changed, because the market changed, because a lot of things changed. And so now it seems like they're going to have Jaire Alexander, which is a big deal. I'm anxious to see what the resolution actually looks like. Are they going to change incentives? Could they structure it so that he's got, you know, performance bonuses and he can still get all his money? Are they going to take years off the contract? I've suggested that might be something that he would be interested in so that he could get a new deal if he plays. I think that'll tell us a lot about how they view this long term. And just how much is actually fixed here beyond, hey, actually, it makes sense if he'll play for between $10 and $15 million this year to actually keep him.
I said back in March, April, early April, going in the draft, Charlie and I were having this conversation. I said, if they sit here and stretch this out and then cut him after June 1st, literally after June 1st, I'm going to be livid. Because that will be one of the most classless things you could possibly do as an organization, to not allow this dude to go find another job when he could have done that in free agency. He could have done that after the draft right away, and we just play this out. I really hope that's not how this is going to play out. I really hope they didn't come in with some restructure that's completely one-sided, and then he goes, absolutely not, I'm not doing that. And then come June 1st, they release him. Like, if that's how this ends, I'm not going to be happy with how the organization itself looks.
Yeah, and I don't think they would want that either. I mean, they understand what the reputation the team has from some players and around the league about, hey, you know, look, they are very judicious about the money that they hand out here. Just because you are someone that's, look at Aaron Jones, and we've seen this happen before, they are willing to say goodbye to players that they don't think are performing to the contracts that have been given out. So to your point, I do think it would be a bad look if that's the way that this ended, but that's why there's a little bit of, you know, whatever leverage, and I hesitate to even use that word after all we went through with the Aaron Rodgers scenario, but if there's any leverage that Jaire Alexander's side has, it is that. It is that it would just make the Packers look bad to handle it that way. I think if the Packers thought that's where this was headed, they would have done it already. But the thing is they don't need the money from the Jaire Alexander deal to do any sort of business. Like, they're good. They made their free agent signings. The Jaire Alexander contract didn't affect any of that. So I think at this point, what they're going to do is string this out because they can. And if they can't find a suitable solution, then they will. I think they will work with Jaire on a trade, because the reporting was, remember, that he didn't want to be traded, because he wanted to be able to sign and then pick where he wanted to go. I think if it got to that point where they couldn't work on a restructure, that they would go, okay, where do you want to go? Let's see if we can just do, like, you know, some seventh round pick swap, just so everyone feels like they're getting something here. I think that would be the only way that we get to a point where you're going, I'm sorry, wait, they did what?
Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers. Make sure to check out the most recent edition of Locked On Packers, where you download your favorite podcast at. Of course, the Leap newsletter. Him and Jason Hirshhorn do a great job with that, too. Follow him on Twitter. And Peter_Bukowski joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on The Fan. Sparky with you. Let's talk about something else I saw in your Twitter timeline here in the last couple of days. Talking about Trey Hendrickson. There was a report out that the Lions aren't going to be a player in all of this at the end of the day for Trey Hendrickson. And for me, that's good, because I don't want to watch him with Hutchinson going after Jordan Love. So I'm happy with that. However, what I don't understand is, and I'm sure you'll be able to help me understand it, is I do not understand why, if you're the Green Bay Packers, why you're not involved. You have a bunch of cap space at this point. If you're restructuring and reworking Jair's deal, you're going to have even more cap space at that point moving forward. To think that you could have Rashawn Gary on one side and Trey Hendrickson on the other side, I think completely changes how you want to play defense if you're Jeff Hafley. It gives him a huge luxury at this point. And the idea of, oh boy, draft capital is too big of a deal to me. With all due respect, the window was wide open for Brett Favre. He got to 2-1-1. The window was wide open for Aaron Rodgers. He only got to 1-1-1. The window is wide open right now with one of the youngest teams in football, and that's lovely. But we've seen this happen before where you wait, and then at the very end, then you try to push before that guy retires or ends up on the Jets. And I just don't want to be in that situation with Jordan Love that 3 years before he gets traded to the Jets, now we want to try and win it for him.
Yeah, and you know, if you're the Packers, I've advocated for this. So it's hard for me to be like, well I'm going to sit here and go, oh, well, the Packers wouldn't do it because of X, Y, and Z, and I think that that's reasonable. If I'm the Packers, I would be wanting to do this. I'm wondering, if I'm the Lions, why I'm not doing this. What is it that's happening right now where you're getting teams saying, oh, we wouldn't be interested in one of the three or four or five, whatever number you want to put on it, best pass rushers in the NFL. I mean, this is a little bit, not to the same degree, but it's a little bit like, remember when like the Atlanta Falcons made it known that they had no interest in Lamar Jackson, and everyone was looking around going, what are you talking about? This is Lamar Jackson. And, you know, of course, that turned out to be a pretty horrible decision by the Falcons. They've been trying to figure out the quarterback position ever since. It feels a little bit like that. I think maybe it is like a respect to, you know, the Brown family, who have, by the way, never handled their business in a respectful way for the players. Like, now they're in a contract dispute with their first-round pick over nonsense. Like, I don't really understand this. I think the expectation, though, is that they're going to get something done. And I do think there may be just a little bit of, like, everyone expects this to be done, and so teams are leaking, hey, you know, we're not really interested in that, because ultimately what's going to happen is the Bengals are going to pay, and it's going to get done, and then, you know, no one feels like they've let the fan base think that this thing could happen, and then it doesn't, because it was never going to.
Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers podcast, joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. You touched on something I saw on social media that Charlie and I have been advocating for throughout all of last season, and I feel like Tommy Wirtz, our other producer, is with us on this, and that is figuring out how to get Tucker Kraft more opportunities in the passing game going forward. And, you know, we've talked about it, like, why can't he be a Kelce or a Kittle in this offense where he kind of is that lead dog, and then your wide receivers are kind of complement pieces to him?
I mean, I think he can, but you would have to reorient the offense a little bit. Like, it takes effort. I think the 49ers are a great example of this.
Yep.
It makes sense in the realm of the way that they have the offense set up so that you can still have this, you know, I like to call it an egalitarian style, where it's just sort of like, if you're open, you're going to get the ball. But every once in a while, like the George Kittle model is, there's a couple dump-offs, and then they run 3, 4, 5 plays a game that are designed to give him vertical and run after catch abilities. It's a deep crosser. It's a corner route. It's, remember that play against the Rams where he caught that play action. He's catching a crossing route over the middle of the field and he rumbles for 70 yards and a touchdown.
Yep.
Those are the opportunities the 49ers consistently give George Kittle that the Packers don't consistently give Tucker Kraft. And if you can just give him more of those opportunities, he's going to take advantage of those opportunities. I think too, there are more chances to just get him the ball in dump-off situations. Because you look at it last year, he was the number one tight end in yards after catch per reception. He averaged, this is crazy, almost 10 yards after catch per reception, which means anytime he touched the ball, more or less, he's creating on his own a first down. Why would you not manufacture ways? Why would you not design ways, or just say by intention, you want to get that guy the ball? And I thought it was telling where Matt LaFleur seemed excited at the end of the year, you know, sort of some of the, you know, the post-mortem press conferences that they do, him saying, you know, hey, I think there is a lot of opportunities here for Tucker Kraft. And they, I think they want someone to step forward. They are starved for having one of these receivers step up and be someone, whether it's a tight end or a receiver, to step up and be the dude on this offense. I know Matt LaFleur feigns like he hates it. You know what he hates more than the question about them having a number one receiver? Is not having a number one receiver.
Yeah, but let's talk
he would
about
like
that.
One of these guys to step forward. They just haven't. And he may just have to say, okay, look, we're going to have to make one of these guys take that step or just feed them like they are a number one guy because no one is going out and doing it by, you know, by force of will.
Okay, but let's have that conversation because Ben Solak did his thing on ESPN, said the Packers aren't a playoff team this year because they don't have a great pass rush. They don't have a true number one wide receiver. We talked about this in the first hour of the show. And my point about this number one wide receiver, Christian Watson's dad's been all over this all last offseason, which is they don't feed anybody enough to have a true number one wide receiver. Nobody ever gets those amount of targets to ever see that. So my thing is one of three things, right? Either A, they don't want to feed anybody that much and they want to be able to spread the ball around, so they don't want to feature anybody with 12 targets a game. Number two, it's nobody's open consistently enough in order to deem that many targets. Or number three, and very well could possibly be number three, which is you just don't have anybody talented enough right now to demand that type of respect.
I think this is – there's an intentionality to this. I don't think Matt LaFleur wants to run back the Devontae Adams offense from 2021. I just don't think he wants to do that. It's not the way he wants to play. I think he believes in the idea that an offense is more dangerous when anyone at any time could get the ball.
Sure.
And they can't focus on one player. I didn't see the Ben Solak thing, but what I find interesting about that is, okay, they don't have great pass catchers and they don't have a great pass rush. That was true last year.
Yep.
They won 11 games. So what are we talking about? Like, this was a top five passing game last year, a top five offense last year, a top five running game last year, with a top 10 defense last year. What more do they have to prove? I think what happens is we've reoriented expectation, and that has tilted the viewpoint that some analysts have of this Packer team, and I think of some Packer fans, because they expected a bigger step forward last year. And because they didn't go from a nine-win team. Let's not forget, in 2023, they won nine games. Not. Don't think about the Cowboys game. They won nine games over the course of the season. And then they won 11. And every statistic ticked forward. The defense was better. The offense was better. The run game was better. Everything was better. And it somehow felt like a letdown because they lost to the team that, it was obvious by the end of the year, was clearly the best team in the NFL. And I think that has been retconned into the idea that they got worse instead of better, because they didn't get enough better. They didn't get better to the point that we thought they should or whatever it is. And I think that's absurd. The betting markets agree. The Packers are a playoff team. I don't know how you can look at this team and go, that's not they're going to win 10 or 11 games. Are they a true bona fide NFC contender? I don't know. But the idea that their pass rush, which was fine last year, or their offense, which was very good last year, would hold them back out of the playoffs. Like, who's getting in if not them? The Vikings with J.J. McCarthy, a rookie quarterback? The Bears? Don't tell me the Bears, off a five-win season, are going to suddenly win 11 games? What are we talking about here? Like, it's just, it is in a conference where seven teams make it, there are seven teams better than the Green Bay Packers today? Absolutely not.
Here's Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers Leap newsletter. Follow him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. What could people find right now with all your great stuff that you put out?
Well, we got a new newsletter coming out tomorrow. Talking about the Jerry Alexander stuff, of course, on the show tomorrow for Locked On Packers. And always Locked On Sports Today, the all-sports show that we do over on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your daily digest of all the big stories in sports. Get caught up on everything not Wisconsin sports related, because I know everyone listening is very up to date on that. We got you on Locked On Sports Today.
Is it Giannis every day on Locked On Sports Today? He laughs. It's Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers. Follow him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Peter, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.